This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
The novelist Joyce Carol Oates has the literary energy of a 19th century figure like Charles Dickens or Anthony Trollope. She's the author of 60 novels and hundreds of short stories and countless enigmatic, often controversial tweets. Lately, one volume in particular has gotten renewed attention. It's a book called Blonde, about Norma Jean Baker, who became Marilyn Monroe.
It's widely considered to be her masterwork. It's more than 700 pages. I think it clocks at like 738, so it's her longest book, and apparently the draft was twice as long.
Katie Waldman is a staff writer for The New Yorker who covers books and culture.
I think it's the best version of a lot of themes that she's been toying with and unpacking for her entire career. Marilyn Monroe is just, in a way, she's just a succession of incredible stills or photographs, right? She's this iconic figure who is both woman and so much more than woman, myth, blonde, fairy tale princess, symbol of Hollywood.
Blonde was published in 2000, and it's just now become the basis for a film on Netflix written and directed by Andrew Dominik.
Miss Monroe, it's time!
You told your biographer that you were inspired to write the book after seeing a photo of the 15-year-old Norma Jean Baker.
Yes.
And you said, "This young, hopefully smiling girl, so very American, reminded me powerfully of girls of my childhood, some of them from broken homes."
Oh, yes. Well, I came from an upstate New York, western New York, north of Buffalo. It was not a very prosperous community that I lived in. And there were broken homes, and there was a good deal of brutality. Mm-hmm. So my family was actually quite unusual. My parents and my brother and I lived with my mother's parents. So we had like a multi-generational farmhouse, and we were more of a stable family. But I went to school with these other girls who were often victimized. Mm. Their fathers may have been drinking, or they may have been ill, or they abandoned the family. There was a lot of poverty.
Yeah.
Norma Jean Baker is one of those girls. She was in many foster homes, but she was not an orphan because her mother was alive. It's just that her mother couldn't take care of her.
I was thinking about Marilyn Monroe and about Hannah, the rich, elegant blonde at the heart of Babysitter, your most recent novel. Some of your most iconic creations have been seemingly pure blonde women who may be despoiled. The depictions are so evocative, it seems like it must have some sort of special fascination for you.
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I'm probably drawn to writing about relative underdogs or people who've been marginalized or impoverished or disenfranchised. They don't necessarily have to be blonde girls or women. They could also be men. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've written about boxing.
Right, right.
These are like working class Americans who had no unions to protect them. And basically, I'm sort of interested, I think predominantly, there might be a theme where I'm interested in marginalized people who've been exploited. by the establishment.
Yeah.
I was probably drawn to writing about Marilyn Monroe because she did exemplify the kind of person who was a victim, who really didn't have any protection. She was like a girl, like in a fairy tale, like the beggar maid. Mm. And she had to make her own way. So she was working in a factory when she was only about 16. And she was doing the kind of work where she was breathing in fumes.
Yeah.
So I guess the point I'm making is that Norma Jean Baker, had she not become a starlet and then Marilyn Monroe, she would have been sort of used up by the world, you know, of capitalism. And mm-hmm. So that's probably what I'm drawn to more than there being a blonde woman.
Everything's all right. Norma Jean, what were you thinking of?
I wasn't thinking. Maybe I was remembering.
How did the film come about?
Well, Andrew Dominik wrote a screenplay, which he sent to me a long time ago. I was very impressed with that because he had distilled about 800 pages down into, you know, like a 2-hour movie.
Were you pleased with how it turned out?
Oh, yes. It's a work of art. Andrew Dominik is a very idiosyncratic director, so he appropriated the subject and made it into his own vision. It's extremely emotionally exhausting. It's not a feel-good movie. It's not at all like most movies about Marilyn Monroe are kind of upbeat. This one really is probably what she was actually experiencing.
Yeah.
I did have to stop watching it and go away for a couple of hours and then come back. It's very demanding of the viewer.
Yeah.
Well, the last quarter of it, perhaps, is very hallucinatory. Hmm. As Marilyn Monroe at this point is addicted to barbiturates.
Please come. Please come. Don't abandon me. Please.
She's coming.
Please come.
She's coming.
Don't abandon me.
She's coming. She's almost here.
That's quite astonishingly vivid and realistic. And you sort of feel that you're losing your own mind, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a movie not for the faint of heart. But, you know, the real things that happened to Marilyn Monroe are much worse than anything in this movie. It's a superb job of acting. Ana de Armas becomes Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
I mean, some actors are really like chameleons.
They're just amazing. Norma Jean Baker was a chameleon too. I guess there was no Marilyn Monroe who wasn't
That's right.
sort of a performance.
Yeah, yes. That's true.
That's just a bit of Katie Waldman's conversation with Joyce Carol Oates, and you can read the entire interview at newyorker.com.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.